In the name of Jesus, we pray. We pray with grateful hearts that we have been translated, transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of your light in Christ. And we thank you for that, and we pray that you open up the scriptures to us, that we may learn more deeply that we have a life in Christ, and that you teach us that life, and we grasp those things which you would have for your church to live. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. In chapter 2, Paul encouraged the Colossian church that they have been raised through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And we were dead in our trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. He has made alive together in him, forgiving all your trespasses. That's our starting point. Incredible as it is, we have died and been buried in baptism, and we were raised with him in faith. And we have been made alive together. That is incredible. And now we go on to the more practical side of this. That's incredible. Who can really grasp the fact that we have been raised from the dead of our sin and trespasses with Christ? He is the one that has initiated it. He is the one that completed it. He is the one that we move and have our being in. But now there's the more practical side. How do we work that out? How do we demonstrate what Christ has done with us, done for us in an outward manner? How do we live our lives, to bring testimony to that act, to the act of one, we have been raised with Christ in baptism, and two, we have been seated in the heavenly places with Christ? How do we demonstrate that to the world around us? Paul is going to unpack that in Colossians 3. And we'll start, how am I going to go? La, 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 la. We'll go up to 3:13. Verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with God, or with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. There is neither Greek nor Jew, there is no circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is it's all in all. Excuse me. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. We'll stop there. You know, we continue to live on earth in our mortal bodies, but we have embarked on a new way of life. Since his people share Jesus' risen life, their interests are now centered on him. His interests, in fact, have become theirs. Excuse me, I gotta get some illumination. Now, and I know I'm speaking to the choir on this, that everything we do to the glory of Christ. We set our minds. We live in these mortal bodies, and we deal with things of the world. But how we deal with them is different than we used to deal with them. Our minds, our attitudes, and our ambition, and our whole outlook must be characterized, by the living bond with the ascended Christ. We, in this life, We know that we have been redeemed, and we know Jesus has won for us new life, and he sent the Holy Spirit so that we are able to live this new life. And really, more overarching is our testimony of what Jesus has accomplished and will accomplish. That is the whole thing our testimony to Jesus, to a lost and dark world. If we live out these things in our lives, it is a testimony of what Christ has done for us. Louise and Jerome, obviously you've affected Angie somehow, but it's been by your life example. And that is powerful. That by your life, by your attitude and conduct in these, you have won a child from Christ. Maybe not fully now, but I believe both of them are on their way. Okay. These things which we put off, these are kind of easy things. I'll rephrase that. These are not necessarily easy, but they are in Christ. We put to death the things that are on the earth. Fornication. Uncleanness. You know, both of those speak of sexual immorality. And even uncleanness, it is one of the things is that they used it when somebody said they were going to do something for a friend and betrays that friend. Excuse me. Uncleanness. So it's more than just sexual sin or sexual immorality. It is how we deal, who we are, who we say we are to our friends and neighbors, and be true and be consistent in our dealings. Passions, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Covetousness is that desire for material things. And if we're living to gain material things, our mind is not set on those things which are above. They are set on things which are earthly. That is covetousness, and covetousness is idolatry. And idolatry opens a lot of doors that should not be open. It says, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Hello, whoever joined us.
Hey, sorry, I was late.
No, sorry, you're here. But we don't do the things we used to do. Remember, you have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. We live in a different reality. We live in a different reality because of who Christ is and what he has accomplished and how he thinks of us. Imagine that. Let this sink down into our hearts and minds. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you must also do. That is amazing. That we are elect of God, we are holy and beloved. And because of that, Paul is exhorting us to put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing, patience, and forgiving one another. Those are characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. We should be exhibiting those. We should be walking in those. We should be, if not fully, starting to change. And we've really, as we continue in Christ, we should start looking like him. That seems strange, but when we set our minds on things above and not on the earth, we we start to acquire his character. We start to acquire his image. We're like little mirrors walking around reflecting who Christ is. And really, Christ is seated at the right hand of God, at the position of supremacy. And in Psalm 110, it says, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool." I lost my place here, excuse me. We have the testimony of Jesus on our lips. We confess that he is the Son of God. The high priest and his colleagues arrested, followed his arrest to Gethsemane, he was asked if he was the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed. And Jesus replied, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Almighty and coming in the clouds of heaven." Jesus' testimony testified who he is, and he testified what is true. And even the Pharisees and the leaders of the day asked him if he was the Messiah. the son of the blessed. So Messiah did hold that position in their eyes. So we need to have that attitude that we are the elect of God, holy and beloved, and we reflect that position by putting on tender mercies, by putting on kindness, by walking in humility, meekness, long-suffering, and bearing with one another in love and forgiving one another. And when we do that, we are we are not only testifying who Jesus is with our mouths, but we are testifying who Jesus is and what he has accomplished for us by our lives. And really, that is what Jesus is after. In his church. Again, Jesus has been given the name which is above every name, and at that name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. So it is not just a confession out of our mouths and our lives don't reflect that confession. It is the confession of our lives along with the confession of our mouths that Jesus is Lord. We confess him that he is Lord, and we demonstrate that confession by bowing the knee. And again, what Jesus has done for us, when we fully grasp what has been done and what has been accomplished on the cross and what has been accomplished through the obedience of Jesus to the Father, this is the grand argument and an incentive for Christian living. We are living as the Spirit wants us to live, essentially, by the way Jesus wants us to live, by under the power of the Holy Spirit, as a testimony to the Lord. And even we later will read in the chapter when he goes through husbands and love your wives, and there is no differentiation between slave and free. Those differentiations, that was a hard word, come about because of the Holy Spirit. They come about because Paul is not advocating slavery. Even the next book, he is advocating freedom. But more importantly, he is advocating how we treat each other in Christ. It's amazing. And it's amazing that this could be done it's only through the Holy Spirit that a slave and a servant and a household did what the master said. But if that slave is a believer along with the master, those two have different roles to play in the church. If a slave winds up being more mature or whatever, the master of the house has to treat him differently. I can't ever imagine in our country that if a man or woman was a slave, but both their master and him operate in the church, that distinction of a slave is obliterated. It is not relevant. Slaves were encouraged to obey their masters. But also, Paul said, in Christ, there is no slave or free. All right. Again, Paul sneaks in the fruit of the Holy Spirit in verse 12 and 13. And he caps it off in verse 14. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Also, a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And if we did indeed love each other as Christ loved us, and if our life is hidden in Christ, we have to love one another. We have to forgive one another. That is amazing. Even today's, that somebody can profess Christ and not forgive somebody's wrongdoing in them. We have such a long way to go. So, again, above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. If we love our neighbor as we love ourselves, we would do things that would benefit our neighbor. We would do things that would show that we're looking out for our neighbor. Our neighbor's welfare is our intent. Verse 16. Okay. 15, excuse me. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. If we have put on love, we will let the peace of God rule in our hearts. If we have that peace and we have that love, we will have what's coming next. to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. That is one thing Pastor Oz talked to you last night about the missing element of humility. That is another missing element in the body of Christ, I think. Gratitude. We are seldom thankful. Gratitude is almost a rare commodity in our lives, especially Americans. If we have the peace of God and we have the love of God in our hearts, we will be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell with you in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That let the word dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. We need to have wisdom when we teach and we admonish one another. It says here in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. It's not necessarily that we teach and admonish anybody in song, but we have to use wisdom. That's the teaching and the admonishing is done in wisdom and humility and in a way that will win our brother, not in a way that will distance him or cause anything else other than what that teaching and what that admonishment, thank you, John, will accomplish. We won't accomplish what it set out to be if we don't use wisdom. We don't in the rules for Christian households, this is next group. Paul says, don't provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. That is not just fathers and children. That's each other. All of us. That we don't provoke each other so that they become discouraged. And in that, we have to use wisdom. All right. Are there any questions so far?
Okay. No, not right now.
Not for me.
Go ahead. All right. Verse 18. Wives, submit to your own husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husband, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for it is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. If you notice, in me reading over these again, it is always the leader of the household who will bring these things about. It is, husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter. Wives, if you have a husband that loves you, you will submit as it is fitting in the Lord. As we just all desire to please him in everything. And it is not just a patriarchal system. Remember, there is no more Jew or Gentile, no more free or slave, then no more man or woman. Not that these things have been obliterated, but as masters and slaves going to church one another, those distinctions are set aside. Husbands, don't treat your wife harshly because you have put away anger. You have put away wrath, blasphemy, filthy language from your mouth. And you do not lie to one another. If these things are true in our dealings in society, they are more than true in our dealings in the household. So, we put off that old man who ruled his house with an iron fist. We put off anger, using anger as a weapon to get what we want done. We put those things off, and we put things, we realize who we are, the elect of God, holy and beloved, and we put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, and we bearing each other with one another, and forgiving one another. Those are not just our attitude to the outside world. Those are our attitude in the household. And if we have those attitudes in the household, again, what's in supremacy to Paul's mind is the testimony of Christ. You even nowadays, you meet couples and they seem to be estranged. One's angry at the other. In a Christian household, that should not be the case. And as it was in the early church, if the head of the household gave his life to Christ, everybody else did. And that is a testimony of the power of the gospel, that no longer do we walk around in envy, hating, and doing what doing what you want and selfish ambition. We don't do that anymore in Christ, because whatever we do in word or deed, we do in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. We have a change of life. Not only has Jesus redeemed us from death and judgment, He has, by His Holy Spirit, given us tools and given us the means of living that way. So, when we love our wives and don't not be bitter towards them, we are winning our wives to Christ. And wives, when you submit to your husband as befitting the Lord, we are winning our husbands to Christ. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing to the Lord. And fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. This is well pleasing to the Lord. We are living to bring glory and honor to Jesus. We know we have been redeemed and we've been saved in the spirit, in our personal lives, but we need to demonstrate that redemption that we have in Christ, that those on the outside and even in the inside of the church know that there is a change. There is a change that's been affected by the love of Christ and our inner man reflects, or excuse me, our outer man reflects that inward change, bringing glory and honor to Christ. Verse 22. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with thy service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. We all need to do things with sincerity of heart because we fear God. We fear the Lord. We respect the Lord. And we respect that change that He has won for us. And showing that in our outward person, in our outward man, we bring glory and a testimony to Jesus, that who He is and what He says He was going to do is real. And it is not just philosophy. It is a real change. It is a substantive change in our hearts and in our minds and in our bodies. Whatever you do, Paul says, do as unto the Lord. I just read the next verse. Verse 23. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men. We do things because the Lord has accomplished in us something. and we do it heartily, not just begrudgingly, not just, oh, all right, I know, I'm this person, I'm going to be that person, and I know I have to do it, but we do it heartily, joyfully, gladly, as unto the Lord. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. That's what I want to do. If I get an inheritance, it'll be because I serve the Lord Christ. It'll be me thinking is about, let me see, Bruce put it very well. Let me see if I can find it. Oh, come on. I guess I'm going to have to paraphrase it because I can't find it now. Oh, here. We should ask this question of ourselves. What is the Christian thing to do here in any situation? Can I do this without compromising my Christian confession? Can I do it, that is to say, in the name of the Lord Jesus, whose reputation is at stake in the conduct of his known followers? Can we do that? Do we even ask the question first before we just go ahead and do it? And again, whatever we do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Stop. Can I do this? Will it bring glory to you? Or will it bring dishonor? Will I be dishonoring the name of Christ in my life? Again, Paul is interested in the testimony of Christ. So we have to, before we do anything, ask the question, will I bring honor or dishonor to the name of Jesus? Will I bring honor or dishonor to even myself and even in my walk? Because just as Paul was concerned with the name of Christ, we should be concerned with the testimony of Christ. We do it to the Lord, not to man. Excuse me. For we serve the Lord Jesus. Not man, but we do serve to bring glory to his name. And that's why we live. That's why we are Christians. We live to bring glory to the name Oh, Jesus, we live to bring truth and reality to the name of Jesus. While I was in the hospital, one of the people that came, I forgot what he was going to do, I think he was serving food, saw my commentary on the table, and he said, "Oh, cool. Is that history or what's food? Was that history or philosophy or something?" And, you know, immediately I said, "It's history." And he went off saying, "Oh, cool. I'm a philosophy major," or something like that. He knew what it was, but he wasn't ready to admit it as being truth, as being history. And so, whatever we do, we do it to the name of the Lord, especially in our public life, especially in our home lives. We do it to the name of the Lord, as is fitting to the Lord, as Paul writes. And it is pleasing to the Lord. We want to please the Lord, not please men. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. We need to respect the Word of God. We need to respect what he has done for us. And just as there's no Jew or Gentile, just as there are no man, woman, slave, or free, all are subject to the discipline of the Lord. There is no get out of jail free card in the kingdom. We will all make I'm not even sure what I want to say. We will all have to answer for what we have done in this life, how we have lived in this life. Praise God, we have Jesus, and praise God for his forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness now before it's too late. Repent now before it's too late. Walk in humility now before it's too late. Christ showed us these things in the way he conducted his life and ministry. He showed us humility. He showed us when to when to act and what to do. Boy, I got that wrong. Anyways, he is our pattern man. Both Paul and Christ. And we should also all ask before we do something, will this bring glory to your name or not? Is this your will or not? And expect to hear an answer. Expect to hear yes or no. And basically right now, that's what I am learning to, before I do anything, to ask the question, is this right? Is this your will? Yeah, it should be more, is this your will rather than is this right or wrong? So, that's all I got. So, and praise God. Thank you, Lord, for getting me on this today. Thank you, Lord, for kicking me in the pants and bring me here. Lord, I thank you for all that's on this call. I pray that you bless them with your presence. Bless us all with your Holy Spirit and your presence, Lord God. And Lord, by your Holy Spirit, cause us all to walk in your love and in your will. And that we may do these things that are pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.